Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The first 4 hours were simply in a moose-boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
Brought to you by Extend. Extend Technologies online first, xtendav.com. That's xtendav.com. It's time to make those home dreams come true with Extend Technologies. I heard your interview. I told people, I was like, I'm going to the bowl. I was on the bowl. I'm not going to lie to anybody about that. I was in the bathroom. I heard your interview. There was a couple lines I thought that were just outstanding. I heard your interview with Jake Paul. One of the things, I got to get this off my chest here. So I do. I think he's a carnival, and I think it's a sideshow and all those things. I think that way because I think that way. I think that way because I believe that it's a sideshow and it's carnival. And I was surprised, like, when we did Coming In Hot, I thought we were like, oh, man, we're going to have to dump some things to be said about this guy. We had a lot of defenders.
That surprised me.
In Coming In Hot, and it was, Ken, you're jealous of his money. I can't make this any more clear. Mm-hmm. My relationship with a former football coach in the NFL help change my perspective about this. I don't care about money. I do not care. I care about my money. I care about my family. I do not care how much money a person... It does not affect my respect for them. It just doesn't. I know people who have to live on assistance, and I respect them way more than certain people that I know who to be millionaires. I don't care about the amount of money or the amount of internet hits. I don't care. If I think something's stupid, I think it's stupid.
You're telling me there are other radio show hosts that you know of who have climbed up the ladder somehow, some way, be it by accident, be it by nepotism.
Okay.
You're telling me it's not about respecting those people. You're telling me there's not an inherent jealousy. Because I honestly,
especially when it comes to radio, I have to work on my own thing.
You're right. You're
right. My deal, not theirs.
In a perfect world, but I think if I were to ask everybody, everybody says that it's as if we don't have jealousy. Jealousy is a real thing. And this is why people are so mad all the time, whether it's politics or anything. I'm jealous they're getting something, but I'm not getting it.
Well,
that's what drives the anger in society.
Jealousy is a motivating factor. So you're right. Because if somebody else gets something and I want that, I'm not mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad at myself and I want to attain that. But you know what? For a split second, I am mad at them for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder why I didn't get it. So you're right. There has to be at least an initial thought of jealousy. But like when we got the call, who was the person? Was it John and Westlake or something? When they said, Ken's jealous of Jake Paul because he's made millions of dollars and he could roll Ken Carmen around in a dirt like dirt. He could roll him around in the dirt like a ball. Those things are true. Jake Paul has made tons of money, and he could, if he came in here, he'd knock my ass out. That's fine. It doesn't mean I'm going to respect him when I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean any of that. It does not mean anything.
I would agree with you.
I could wake up and he could beat me up again. I won't respect it. It's
sure.
That simple.
Sure. I think respect is a totally different element. I'm with you on that. I mean, I just have to turn it into what we do, and there are guys and girls that have forged ahead. If we're playing this stupid game of scoreboard, which took a long time to appreciate what you have and not worry about what other people have. But it was a long time. I mean, I'm sitting there at 27, 28 years old in Syracuse, watching people leapfrog me that I think I'm better than, that I've had other people tell me I'm better than. Am mm-hmm. I really? Well, maybe not, because those people got to where they got to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sitting there, at no point did I respect them, but man, was I jealous. And it does. It breeds resentment, and then you worry about the wrong stuff. And I think that's the hard part, and I think comes with maturity. I think as you get older, Kenny, you got 3 kids. You got a wife.
Yeah.
You got a house out there in the borough. Things have gone well. You just did sidelines, right? This week, you just did sidelines for the team that you grew up rooting for and loving. It is almost a miracle.
Yeah, it really is a miracle.
And it takes all of that stuff to stop worrying about everybody else. And I've had to do the same thing. And I'm not saying we're exactly the same, but I have been so bothered by people that I thought just jumped right ahead of me for the wrong reasons. And so this is where the Jake Paul thing, I think, resonates with people. Is that, wait a second, where's the genius? What did he do? He made Vine videos. That's where it started. He made 6-second Vine. How creative could you be? And then
is
you
that
found
really
out
how it started?
Some people were really creative doing Vine videos.
I kind of like Vine. So, I miss it.
Some
platform.
People were unbelievably brilliant.
Remember Jim Norton as Chip Chipperson
yes.
doing Vine?
Oh, yeah.
Why do they call it Vine?
Will Sasso on Mad TV makes me laugh. I go back and look at him from time to time. They make me laugh so much. What he did with lemons. It was the stupidest thing in the world. And I think what happens is it's not respect. I don't think anybody respects. Most people don't respect what they did. Maybe other YouTubers respect them because they're like, oh, man, they capitalized. But the jealousy thing is, wait a second, he's only 24 years old. Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I think of that? You know, I always thought I was creative. Why didn't I think of something like that? Why didn't I take advantage? You know how many comedians are better, funnier, even more engaging than Joe Rogan? Do you know the jealousy in that world? As opposed to what people should have done, which is start your
own
podcast.
You're right.
Start your own. I mean,
I'm telling you this. It's just, there's just certain things where I just know I'm never going to be on the same wavelength as a person. And maybe I should have participated in the interview with you. Maybe that was a miss by me.
How would you have approached it?
But that's what I thought.
Obviously, let's take people behind the curtain.
All right.
The whole point was, if I have a real interview with Jake Paul, all the people that say they're not going to listen would not have. And then all the people who were listening would be like,
this is no fun.
This is stupid.
Yeah, you had to do what you did.
This is stupid.
You had to have fun with it. If you were serious about it and just did it, it would have ended in 5 minutes because...
And then we would have had no feedback. Been like, all right,
because
there's Jake Paul.
Like you, when I listened to it and I heard what you said about Stipe... He knows. That's why, you know, I'm like, yeah, this is a setup thing. And one of these days, someone's going to knock his ass out.
Could be this
weekend. And it's going to be like, because somebody's going to go, I'm sure there's some sort of an agreement going, hey, we don't do this, we don't do that, and you're going to get this if you agree to all these things.
Yeah, these guys are making their biggest paydays fighting
exactly.
him now. Ben Askren made more money in that fight, and yet, did it look suspicious? How can I argue? How can I argue that it didn't look suspicious?
Exactly.
And yet I'm yelling at you on the air.
But people on the other side want to see it. And one of these days, someone is going to get in there and go, the hell with it. And they're going to knock him out. And I'm going to feel, if I hate the guy, I'm going to miss it. But the problem is, I don't hate him. I don't. There's just some guys who you know from the get-go, you're just not on the same wavelength with them. I'll take you behind the curtain even more. So let's go back. Let's go back just a couple days. Yesterday, I made up an excuse to get out of this interview. I made up an excuse. I did not want to do it. I didn't want to be attached to it. I just was like, because I thought the only thing to get this to go where it needs to go, you had to do what Lima did. And that's what Lima did. And that's why it was a listenable, decent thing. And you had fun with it. I don't know if I could have had fun. I don't know why. I don't know if I could have had fun and been that way. And part of it is because I go back to – and, like, Andy asked me, he's like, why do you have such a problem there? Like, you've interviewed people who've done some repugnant things in the past, and I've always said, like, I don't interview anybody. I don't care. If Bill Clinton came walking in here, if Donald Trump came walking in here, if you're big on politics, if you're big on entertainment, if Bobby Brown came walking in here, I don't care.
I did I'll John Rocker when I was when I was with Kylie back in the day.
But there's just somewhere I can't ever get on the same – there's no understanding at all because I kept thinking about – I was at a charity softball game like 3 years ago, and they were there. And somebody was like, hey, do you want to go down and talk to these guys and get a picture and everything? I'm like, no, not at all. I'm telling you, like they were like, what? I'm like, I'm not going to say who asked. I'm not going to say who offered. I'm not going to say it. They're like, well, they're big YouTube stars. They're from here. And I go, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I don't want to be a part of that at all. I don't want to be a part of that. And then I start to think, am I taking myself a little too seriously here? I mean, I've always said, I'm not a journalist. I really am not. I'm honestly, I'm a clown for people's amusement. I know what I am. And some of the stuff I like to say is taken seriously, or some of the stuff might be imparting some wisdom. But other than that, I don't know how serious someone should. I get long emails. I'm like, hey, buddy, it's a gag. Got to listen for longer than 5 minutes.
Right. But that happens all the time.
But I'm also like, and I'm just going, am I taking myself too seriously? I'm not going to be a part of this interview with this guy in this fight that's probably going to be a dive, and he's a YouTube guy. I don't, like, when did I become Edward R. Murrow all of a sudden? So there is a little bit of personal confliction going, hey, you can't do this all the time, and if you're going to use this one, did you really want to use it on Jake Paul? Did you really want to use it on this guy who's just a YouTube guy and nothing of what he does is serious? Nothing of what he does is serious. I don't know if I want to do that. So it's probably going to come back to bite me in the ass.
All right, a couple things. Do we think there will be some crazy headline out of this event? Do you remember the event versus Ben Askren? I watched it over my buddy's place. He had a watch party. We don't care about Jake Paul, but we care about the spectacle. We care about, will something happen? Remember Justin Bieber, Ken, was on the card as a performer, and he performed some songs, and it was a total disaster. But he was, you know, he did some of his songs and then walked off the stage, and they're like, oh, we need you to do more. Is there something that's going to happen this weekend that people will be talking about on Monday that will make, pardon the interruption?
In this?
Yeah. He's been pretty good at this.
If he wins this quote-unquote fight, and then just goes, Myles Garrett, I'm coming for that ass, or something like
Dana
that.
Dana White.
Maybe. Dana White. I don't. He's got to cut a promo.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, he ain't that good at cutting a promo. Like, was it him or his brother when they did the video? I did see the video and I laughed. The Conor McGregor one, where he starts out and he's like sitting by a car and he's smoking a cigar and drinking a drink.
I know exactly what you
Was that about. Him or was it his brother?
I get them mixed up.
Okay. That's another part of it. I don't know which one's which. It's like Homer. Speaking of clowns, it's like Homer Simpson and Krusty when they were in front of the mom and he did a ho 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 ho. I don't know which one's it.
I think
which.
Logan's the bigger one.
Okay, I don't know which one's which size. I don't pay that close of attention to him. He's got to cut a promo. So if you're done, like this is, roll your eyes. This is old wrestling stuff. Like you got to go in there and make it interesting for the next one. Like when I saw. When I saw Stipe lose to Daniel Cormier and Brock Lesnar jumped right in that, I go, this is what it's supposed to be. Because now you want to see the next one. You want to see these two. This is what it's supposed to be. And then, you know, Brock can't get off the gas and all the other stuff. But it's good promo. You have to know what you're going to win this fight because that's what's going to happen. And you need to get on that microphone and you better cut something that is sizzling. And, like, whoever it might be. So, if you're Jake Paul, I'll do it without cussing. You win the fight, they get you on the thing, go, I'm sick and damn tired of people not taking me seriously. I kicked this guy's ass right in this ring, right in the middle of Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, right in the middle of my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. I'm sick and damn tired. So, I'll meet him anywhere. I'll meet him in Chicago. I'll meet him in New York. I'll meet him in L.A. I'll meet him on this island that he somehow bought some way somehow. And I'm going to kick Dana White's ass with these two fists right here. Boom. Boom, and show everybody who should be the rightful president of the UFC. Whenever you want it, Dana, you come get these right here. And you say it right into the camera.
That was
you
great.
You can cuss. You can say whatever you want and go whatever time, anytime, anywhere. I'll kick your ass here, there, anywhere, doesn't matter, boom. And then you get your guys around and they start yelling, come on, Dana,
that type
of thing.
Deal.
And then you walk off. That's all you got to do.
Then it's a story.
And then just, and then, because he's a YouTube guy, whatever, cut another one. Do another video. Hound him. Hound
him.
And
all his YouTube videos get a million. They all get a million.
I'll kick
every
your old,
video he puts out.
I'll kick your old ass, and then I'll take your dog from you. I'll kick your old ass, and then I'll take your wife from you. Either way, I'm going to kick your old ass. That's the way it's going to work. If you want something legitimate, go ahead, go do it. Like, I'm just using Dana White as an example. Who knows? You know, he could say, I'm going to kick Joe Rogan's ass up one side and down the other of Austin, Texas, right down the middle. It's going to be Austin city limits right there in front of you. You can say whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But cut something that you know. And, like, there's times where I see him and it's like there's something there and then it just peters out. I'm like, ah, he's out of stuff to say.
Yeah, I agree with you. So
you don't need to do 2 minutes.
So
15 seconds. Doesn't matter.
Here's what bothered me about the arguments that I made. And I'll tie this together, I promise, about Tim Tebow and tight end. I'm like, come on. We're making it sound like people are born, they come out of the womb as a tight end. No, you can learn tight end. Well, apparently he couldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, apparently he could not. Can you, at the age of 24, he's young. I know he's been in the public eye for a long time.
Yeah.
Jake Paul
he's
is
younger
young.
Than I realized. I thought he was like 30.
I know.
I swear to God. I'm
I
like,
know.
Oh, he's only 24.
Can he get good at boxing? Can he get really good? Like, there, what would we do if he got good at this
there's a lot
and could
of good,
actually beat real boxers?
You know what? Then honestly, if he went down, like, I'm serious. He could go, and I'm sure he could kick the hell out of the guy working at the Sam's Club. I'm sure he could go.
Sure.
I'm sure he can go down to Mr. Chicken and drag one of the guys out of there and feed him 8 good ones and then leave him in his dust. I'm sure he could do that, just like he'd come walking in here and kick the hell out of me. But if he became a good boxer and, like, actually legitimately knocked people out, like, I'll give him that credit. I'll give him that credit. He doesn't need me to give him credit. I know that. Mm-hmm. He certainly doesn't need my approval for anything. But if he's the subject, I'll talk about him. It's like, no, I think that these things are ridiculous. I think the Floyd Mayweather thing your brother did or whatever else happened did was also ridiculous.
I can't believe how many people watch that.
I think it's a waste of time and money. But Floyd Mayweather, no matter what I want to say about that man, is a good businessman that draws a lot of eyes. Jake Paul has proven to be, and the Paul brothers have proven to be good businessmen who draw a lot of eyes.
Floyd,
doesn't mean I got to respect it.
Floyd, no doubt, is one of the best to ever do it. The people in that sport will say till the day they die that, yes, he's unbelievably good. He also absolutely cherry-picked opponents for 20 years. There are guys that could have beat him that he wouldn't go up against. But the whole point was that people didn't watch to be entertained by Floyd. And some people were. Shoulder roll. I don't know. I got kind of bored watching him fight, to be honest. However.
Oh, I thought all his fights were boring.
Well,
all of them.
However, it was the percentage of people that wanted to see him get shut up once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
And how smart that Floyd loved that.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't see that as disrespect. He realized I can make money doing this and doing it in that way. I thought that was always the best part of the Floyd Mayweather experience.
There's another part to it where, and this is where I don't get upset, but it's like, I know Floyd Mayweather has a lot of money. I am not impressed by that because I know that he has been charged and found guilty of or whatever, some bad things. Like some bad, bad stuff. I know he's done that. And so he's been accused of even worse. And so I'm just like, I don't. That doesn't get me. I don't stand in awe of that. But I give him credit as a business person. I give him credit as a fighter. He is a legitimate boxer. And he's able to draw a lot of eyes. If the Paul brothers were able to really knock people out, and I have no question that they take it seriously. No, they look like they're in great shape. I'm sure they do take it seriously. I never said they weren't athletes. I'm just saying I don't respect it. And I probably never will. I probably never will. So that's where I stand on that. Do you see the J.R.? I can't believe the NCAA is going to let J.R. Smith golf. I'm really surprised. I thought they'd find some way to stop. I know, but I thought they'd find some way to stop him from golfing. I have no faith in the NCAA.
Because they can't ever have fun?
Yeah, because I was asked about
this.
Oh,
hold on. Owen, Owen has
interceded. Oh, it's time to cut it off.
We have a special surprise for you
right
now.
What is this?
Oh, it's something that
we're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com.
I absolutely think this is a moment for the podcast because, Kenny, we had an in-depth conversation not too long ago about your trials and tribulations, your unbelievable experience on the sidelines for the Cleveland Browns. And so how fitting would it be to have on somebody who knows very well what you went through on Sunday, and that individual is someone that you have referenced before. It's someone that I don't know if you would consider a mentor. I don't know if it's somebody that you would say you looked up to your whole life. Folks, Jim Donovan is not who we're talking to right now. We are talking to Dirk Hembroff, the DJ on Mix 93.5 in Hancock, Michigan. The play-by-play voice for Michigan Tech hockey, folks. Dirk Hembroff is on the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Rocketing his career from the sidelines for the Browns, Kenny Carbon.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Dirk, what a pleasure. What an honor. Ken has looked up to you for a long period of time. We didn't want to go back and find the actual audio, but Ken did say that he has an encyclopedic understanding of announcers around the country.
No, I won't go that far. All right. So I'll explain this. I'm hearing – okay, so I'm really embarrassed. This is really – I'm really embarrassed. All right. Dirk, how long have you been doing Michigan Tech hockey?
Full-time. This is my 20th year coming up, but I've substituted for the great late Bob Olson for many years before that.
So one day – this has got to be very bizarre for you, and I didn't even know you were coming on. I swear to God, I thank you very much for giving us your time here.
We ambushed Ken.
I used to do Ashland University football and men's and women's basketball.
I know.
And did they told you, okay.
Here, hold on, Ken, before you go. I got a couple clips from your Ashland days. Hold on 1 second. I'm just kidding.
Okay, God. I was like, what is going on here? So we were on a trip up there for basketball, and it was actually during Winter Carnival. And I thought – the way that it was during a bit of a rough season for Michigan Tech. I think you guys won like 5 games that year. Mm-hmm. But I went into the student center because there they had, gosh, they got the whole big gym. They got the men's and women's basketball floor. I know you know this, Dirk, but I got to explain it for everybody else. And then they got this great arena. And I go in there, and the stands are packed. And they got these people dressed up like farmers, like they're wearing the overalls and they're yellow and black. That's their colors, gold and black. And they're playing the drums and they're playing hockey and it's amazing. And they had it piped through the entire thing. So we go there for shoot around the day before. And so there's a hockey game going on and you were on it and you were great. And I go, this is great because I don't know anything about hockey, Dirk. And I still don't know very much about hockey at all. So I will turn on your games here in Cleveland ever since then, and I will piddle around in the wintertime and listen to you do Michigan Tech hockey games.
He's not lying, Dirk.
Wow, we need to get you a girlfriend or something.
I have a wife and 3 kids.
Even worse.
I have a wife and 3 kids. You are – I really do. I always reference when I talk about hockey, because I always go, there's a guy in Michigan. His name's Dirk. He's in the UP, and he does Michigan Tech hockey, and he's absolutely fantastic.
Well, much appreciated. Congratulations on your sideline. I wish I had a chance to hear the clips, but
no.
You know, I'm sure they were wonderful.
Oh, no, we have a chance, Dirk.
Don't play
Dirk.
Don't play,
and here
don't
we
play
go.
The bad one. Don't
Carmen
play
on the sidelines with us today. Welcome, Ken, to the Browns Radio Network.
Guys, we thank you so much. Of course, for Clay, I thank you. Looking forward to this game, looking forward to this season. And you said work up a sweat, and you're right. It's very warm down here. I think I'm going to go through 3 shirts tonight. The things we're focusing on, not just the heat. It's going to be opportunity. It's going to be organization. Not a lot of starters going to be playing tonight. So opportunity is a big issue this afternoon. Guys getting something on tape. The other part, organization. Kevin Stefanski, very simply, he has a system. It's going to wait for no man, guys.
Ken is sweating.
Stop. Please.
Were you taking off your shirt while you were doing that? Or?
Oh, my God.
Ken is sweating. He's so red-faced right now.
That was one of the good ones, Dirk.
That wasn't good.
What was wrong with that? I thought that was actually really good.
It was garbage. I'm just shocked. I've never been.
Dirk, are you ashamed to now say that Ken modeled his career after yours? After
no.
hearing that?
Well, he's in higher places than I am. That's for sure. So.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you this, because I mean this sincerely. Because I told Lima the first time, and he thought it was really stupid, and he thinks that I'm really weird for doing it. I will. I will piddle around the house and work on things in the winter because it's we don't get as much snow as they do in Houghton, Michigan, but we get a lot of snow here, and I'll do things, and I'll just turn you on, you know, January and stuff like that. You've been doing it for 20 years. You're really, really good. Have you ever thought about, I don't want to say leaving or anything, is it just we're Houghton's home and you just want to stay there? What's it like?
I love it here. I love the gig. And, you know, if something, you know, if the Wings ever knocked on the door or something, you certainly would have to think about that. But I really don't think, and I'm not a big city guy. You know, we're very small up here. And, you know, I don't know. That's a great question. I've obviously been asked that question before, but the thought of doing this for any other college team, I just couldn't do it. You have to have your heart in it, right? And I just wouldn't be able to do it. So I love it. I love it. I don't know how many more years I'll be doing it, but the people are great, the coaches are great, and all the coaches that we've had have just been wonderful. And you're right. Yeah, even in tough years back in the Michigan Tech days, it was you know, you'd have that Winter Carnival series, and you knew it was going to be packed. Now it's, you know, pretty much packed every night for Michigan Tech hockey. And just to let you know, those bib overalls are representations of the mining tradition up here in,
really?
in the Houghton Hancock Calumet area. And, yeah, so that's just love the program, love the university.
Dirk Hembroff joining us here on the show. This is such a treat.
Had Ken actually have done the research when he was doing those games for his notes, he would have known all of that and known those references.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong, too. But
I mean, I never thought I did a half-assed job, but I still didn't do the best job. Gosh, because we used to do it. I got to explain for everybody, even though Dirk's like, yeah, I know. But we used to go to Marquette, Michigan, where they had the dog sled races.
Yep.
And then we go up to Houghton. And I remember the theme of the Winter Carnival was like something called like the games we play. And like you're in engineering school, correct?
Correct.
They had Donkey Kong. It was the size of the front yard. And I mean, like the one with the Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong or Donkey Kong, was as big as me. It was amazing. They had skee ball that went across the front yard. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. And then I thought I saw him playing broom ball. That's what I learned what that was, because we didn't play that at the University of Akron. Can you just tell everybody exactly what a pasty is? Because when I saw the word, I thought it was a little thing, I swear to God, that strippers put on their nipples. And they go, no, this is a delicacy. This is a dish. And I looked it up, Dirk. It's like $90 to send me a dozen pasties because I looked it up from the UP down to Cleveland, Ohio. That's how much of a delicacy these things are to make sure they're shipped properly. Tell everybody what a pasty is.
Well, a pasty, first of all, again, going back to the mining tradition, we are in the copper country.
Yes.
Here, and so we have, you know, mining shafts all over the place, and that's how this area became the area. And Michigan Tech used to be the mining school, you know, and all that stuff. So that was, the pasty was brought over from Europe and Finland, and Cornish pasties and all that stuff were brought over with the miners that came over here. And the wives would make these very portable all-in-one meals for their husband miners that would be down underneath ground all day long, every single day in the dark. And so these are basically the traditional pasties, rutabaga, potato, meat, all surrounded by a crust, mm-hmm. basically, is what it is. And now they make all kinds of pasties. You can have breakfast pasties and just about any kind.
Dirk, now you're making Ken hungry, mm-hmm. and he's only had two breakfasts so far today, so now I'm a little nervous. What could be next? By the way, I applied for a job in Alpena, Michigan, out of Syracuse, and I didn't get that job. What would I have been in store? What would I have been covering? What would have been the big events? Because I know people from Cleveland go up there, and they ride ATVs in the summer, and then in the winter they've got their snowmobiles and everything, and they say it's beautiful, beautiful area, but what would I have been covering?
Well, Alpena is in the Lower Peninsula, so you're looking at about a six to seven hour drive at least from where
Marquette?
We are.
Oh, to where you are?
No, he's in Houghton. He's okay. He's more towards Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're about 3.5 hours away from Green Bay, about 6.5 hours away from the Twin Cities, and we're in the western part of the UP in the little peninsula that sticks up into Lake Superior. We're right at the base of that. So
it's really the 51st state, Tone. Or 52nd state out of D.C. Yeah. We'll
and
you, talk,
you were talking about snow. You know, we don't that you don't get as much snow as we get around 300 inches of snow. So we are.
You get 300?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we get very regularly right around 300 inches of snow. And the reason is we have all the lake effect. We are sticking out in the middle of the biggest freshwater lake in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's where we, you know, even half hour south of us gets tremendously less snow than we do because they're not sticking up in the middle of
the
lake.
So what does it take to actually get a hockey broadcast canceled? Have you missed one in your 20 years?
Other than COVID.
I have. The only well, I mean, up here, obviously, complete power outage, but I don't remember that happening yet where we haven't been able to get back on. But people are very hardy up here. Very hardy up here, and all that is expected every year. The snow, the ice, the cold. We get it all. We get it all, and but we have some of the best summers you will ever find anywhere. And we have been in, you know, we just have been in the 80s for the last, you know, 2-3 weeks, and just the fact that we can get regularly in the 80s and then we can stay for 7 months in the teens goes to show the wide season variety we have up here.
And we always end every single interview with this, so I want to make sure to get this in.
You can ask him the 10 questions like James Lipton?
Well, I went from Jake Paul to now Dirk Hembroff. Who did you vote for in the presidential election? Was it Joe Biden?
You don't need to answer that. You don't need to answer that, Dirk. He's messing around.
Dirk, before you go, though, we do have to one more time let you hear one more clip.
Don't oh, yeah.
Back down to the steamy Browns sideline. And here's Kent Carman.
One of the things we're really paying attention to last year was that game against Las Vegas where Vegas just lined up and pounded away in that bad weather. They missed Andrew Billings. He's getting a chance to today to get himself up to speed. Also with Andrew Billings, we're seeing a couple of opportunities for Jordan Elliott as well, a second year guy who Joe Woods really thinks that he can make a difference inside.
All right, thanks, Ken.
I think that's good.
I had to take my headphones off, Dirk. I won't listen to him back. I'm sorry. Real quick, before we let you go. God. Notice he didn't say anything about that one. He knew it was terrible.
No, I said it was good. You guys must have had me down on the board.
I'm sorry.
It was really
good. I'm sorry. What type of team are we going to have at Michigan Tech this year?
The hockey team on paper looks really, really good. Of course, I don't know if you guys know, but the new CCHA has started. The WCHA is no more in the men's league, so it's a lot of the teams from the WCHA have moved to form another league. And
Ohio State hockey in the CCHA at one point?
Yes, they were. Yep. But so that the CCHA has not been around for a couple of years. Since the whole Big Ten got hockey, and so a lot of those CCHA teams came to the WCHA, and now they're back to starting a different CCHA. And Michigan Tech on paper looks really good right now, but got to play the games, and we've got some great early games against Big Ten teams. We got to play down at Wisconsin in the first weekend in October.
Oh yeah!
And then Notre Dame comes up here for a game and plays us in Northern Michigan. So we're excited. We're excited, and the coaching staff is excited too.
All right. So how big of a deal is that to the area, to the surrounding area? Pretty big deal, right?
Hockey, people live and breathe it, yeah.
So has there been a name, image, and likeness deal struck yet with one of the players?
That's a great question.
That's a good question. I don't believe so.
What are they doing up there? Come on, the local – what's the local car dealership? Come on. They got to get on.
There's a lot of them. No, I haven't heard anything yet. We'll see what happens.
Do you still play Lask Anchorage?
No, so the with the move out of the WCHA, the two Alaska teams and Huntsville are not part of the new CCHA.
How does Alaska Anchorage have the budget to be doing this?
Oh, they don't. That's the problem.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a struggle for them. You know, the whole COVID thing was tough for everybody, obviously, especially the smaller schools. And as you know, Division I hockey, all these Division II schools like Michigan Tech – Minnesota, Duluth, all that stuff are grandfathered in. You don't have to be a Division I all-sports school if you were already in. And so some of these smaller schools, it's tough. I mean, you're talking a lot of travel, yeah. And when you're not getting fans at the games for some of these schools, it makes it very tough on the administration to make some very tough decisions.
Well, so do you plan on traveling again with them this year?
Yeah, that's the plan. I did not. Good. Yeah, it was good. Tough last year. I love being on the bus with the team. Mm-hmm. There's nothing better than you know really getting to know the guys and you know being able to interview them at any time. Love that. So I'm hoping that happens this year.
Well, I honestly listen, man. Like, I you might think that this is a come on and it, probably pretty stupid. Hopefully, you don't think it's a waste of your time. You really do have a fan in Cleveland, man. You really, really do, and I will be tuning in coming up in October. I swear to you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, Ken, you do a great job. You're in higher places, as I mentioned, than I am. You have no idea how dinky my little radio station is here, but we appreciate it. And
Derek, people fall ass backwards into success in this city. I've been watching it happen for 30 years.
Yeah, I'm one of them. Trust me. I'm in no better position than you. I am in your. I am really, really excited to talk to you. I'm a big fan of you, Dirk. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. And honestly, when I first got the call and email on this, I thought I was getting punked. So I'm glad that, of course, I still could be. We'll have to see what's on television tonight.
No, I will be later on tomorrow morning because I know that this will be played for me and my reaction because I'm pretty damn surprised over all this. Dirk, take care, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Dirk Hembroff. The voice of the Michigan Tech Huskies. I cannot believe you did this to me.
Oh,
I can't believe you did this to me. I really can't. I'm grinning ear to ear right now. I can't believe you did this to me. What was your reaction the first time I told you about that?
Well, which time? You
guys,
have mentioned him
so
over the last 5 years. You've
oh, yeah.
mentioned him
so
plenty.
I first told Lima when I was living in West Park. We lived in a small bungalow. That counts for congratulations on all your success.
Yes.
Congratulations to Dirk Hembroff on all his success.
When you need a Dear Abby so you don't end up with a Dear John.
Congratulations.
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 Congratulations on all your success.
So I have had anybody. I haven't really talked about this on the air very much. I usually try to have a cigar a week. And I lived in West. And during the wintertime, I really don't a lot because it gets like, you know, 10 below and I'm not going to smoke in the house. So. Yeah, as I cough and clear my throat, I'm not going to smoke in the house. So there's, you know, I will go wide swaths of the year without smoking a cigar. But on like a Saturday night or a Friday night, because this is back when Liz was working, Liz would be working, I'd be home alone. It'd just be me and Sam. And I lived in West Park, and we lived in the small bungalow on 144th. And there was a detached garage, and I'd go out in the garage, and I'd turn on, I had a little heater my parents got me. Like a little space heater. And I turned on that heater in a tinderbox, and I would listen to Dirk Hembroff doing Michigan Tech Huskies games while smoking a cigar and drinking. And that's what I'd have the lights on in there, and I'd start piddling around on other stuff and get a little bit loaded. And I'd listen to the whole game, I swear to God. And it just became this little – and, you know, with the kids, like I probably listened to probably a dozen games last year. About, but usually I can listen to almost the entire season and follow along, and you end up wanting them to do well, because it's not regular Michigan, it's UP. It's up there. It's a different state up there. So what was your reaction when I first admitted that to you that I do that? You thought it was pretty bizarre.
No, I actually didn't, because we all dork it up in some way. I think in any business, in anything that you go into,
yeah,
there is an element of it, and we've all grown up listening. I was on the AM radio dial my entire life when that was a thing, when people actually used to listen to sports on AM radio. Mm-hmm. Kenny, can you even imagine that? Sports on AM radio. My radios don't even have AM anymore. I don't even know how to get to it. I can't even imagine working in that capacity on AM radio. That doesn't
Anywho.
Even seem like it. Anyway, so I used to listen to everywhere. MVP in Chicago was one of the big ones. The Flamethrowers coming out of St. Louis. All over. I could pick up some Florida. I could pick up stuff from all over the country. And I always thought that was pretty cool. So you remembered announcers that you would like.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd keep track of them. And you didn't have the internet. So you didn't have a chance to just search. As I've gotten older, I have searched a ton of old radio hosts that I used to listen to, and there were a lot of, like, fledgling sports talk radio national stations. And I'm like, whatever happened to the freak Johnny Renshaw? And I'll look him up, and I'll be like, oh, that's where he is.
Wow.
Okay. And I'll do that with a lot of the old hosts.
I love play-by-play.
Steve Chlesnik.
I'm a student of it. I thought that was the STA guy.
He was, but he was on Sports Overnight America times, filling in for Ron Barr.
Okay. Okay. See, you're that way with talk show hosts.
Yes.
I'm that way with play-by-play because my first love, no offense to the show or the station or anything, my first love was play-by-play.
Get me Johnny Renshaw, the freak. He would start rapping. He starts rapping his sports takes and freestyling, and it wasn't bad. I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't bad because he was really talented.
You love that. See, I always thought the perfect existence was, like, I loved Ashland. I loved it. I wanted to be, like, a little bit – I wanted to be, like, if I could be the voice of the Hawkeye someday. Like, that was the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, if I was the voice of a Big Ten school – and it was like the 48th year, Ken Carmen and the Penn State Nittany Lions, like something like that. That was like a dream. And I always thought that that would be the cool thing. Do updates, whatever shows, and be the local radio guy for whatever Big Ten, Big East, whatever college you could be. And then I fell bass-ackwards into this job, which is a dream. And we'll talk about that next week because, you know, we're going to be celebrating 10 years. But still, that the itch is always going to be there because it hasn't been fully scratched. And I love play-by-play, and I love listening to certain people. I don't hate listen or anything like that. There's been people who talk shows. I go, God, come on, this is dumb. But I don't hate listen. And I happened to go in during a game while we were getting ready to do shoot around, and they had it on in the concourse. And I mean, they were great. He was great. And I just became a fan. And there's other guys. Like, I don't like Pittsburgh. I don't like the Penguins. Mike Lang just retired. I was a big fan of Mike Lang. Big fan of Mike Lang.
Was he the scratch my back with a hacksaw?
He was scratch my Michael motorcycle.
And the only
shave
reason
my
I knew,
back with a rusty
the
razor.
The only reason I knew that was ESPN would play his calls on SportsCenter.
When they won the Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley, bring me the brandy. There's so many of them out there. And I just enjoy them, and I just think it's an idyllic kind of Norman Rockwell existence. And I remember when I used to do Ashland games, I'd come home on a long road. I'd be driving from like Michigan, and I would tune into different stations and listen to them, and then I'd get home.
I was
such a nerd. It was right when it first started. I would go to the internet and I would click on different websites of different teams, and they would have their live audio. And so I'd listen like
would
Gary
be,
Dolphin.
Would it be Real Audio? Do you remember Real Audio back in the day?
The Real Player. The Real Player. Yeah, the Real Player. So I'd listen to them, and that's when I first heard of Gene Deckerhoff. Like, I heard Gene Deckerhoff right when I started in college, and I was a big fan. I have no allegiance towards the Buccaneers. My dad kind of likes Florida State because he likes everything Florida, which is weird because so basically my family is nothing but Florida man. And I love Gene Deckerhoff, and I have a signed mini helmet from Florida State. My buddy Matt Darr got me because he's an alum of Florida State. He's a booster down there too. Great guy, and I can say it now because – you know, we have NIL, so we can give money to anybody who wants to now.
It's okay.
And he got me an autograph of Gene Deckerhoff, and I got that, and it's in my office. And, again, it goes back to Jim. I've been a big fan of Jim since before the first time I ever met him, and I'll be a big fan of Jim for the rest of my life. And I just love really good, folksy, not trying to be too over-the-top, play-by-play guys that just, gosh, they feel like – I think Jim Donovan could run for mayor of Cleveland tomorrow, and he'd win in a landslide. Like, it's those guys I just
especially
love.
Against this group of candidates. Oh, wait, I'm friends with one of them.
Are you allowed to divulge that information?
Yeah, I've said it.
You can tell how nervous I got because I started breaking open this Pop-Tart, and I wanted to eat it during the interview. That's how nervous I was.
You went to your comfort food, your Pop-Tart.
My play-by-play demo is on YouTube.
I've watched it.
It's pretty – I sound different from what
I
did then.
Well, the octaves. I mean, you know what? Funny thing is 10 years from now, you're going to sound
different. The weight on my throat, makes my voice go
I mean, dead honest, 10 years from now, you'll go back and listen to today and go, oh, boy. Boy, we sounded different.
Hopefully I still sound better in 10 years.
You won't. It's all downhill.
I don't want to be that guy.
You're going to sound like Danny Glover. Can't even talk now. Everything's a whisper like this.
Boy, I'll say this. I know we got to go, and I know you're ready to go, and I know Owen's ready to go, and I think I got a podcast, or I got a spot I got to do in 3 minutes. I heard James Earl Jones in the open of that Field of Dreams thing, and I go, we really need to take a minute and enjoy everything James Earl Jones has done in his life because he's about to go.
I liked when he was the Serpent King in Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. What was it? Help me out.
What type of psycho are you? Stop it. Like, I thought, I'd go, man, James Earl's about
Conan.
To call it call it a life, and we really need to respect everything James Earl Jones has done on this earth while he's been here.
He's alive?
This is great. Yes, he is alive. Glad you paid attention to the Field of Dreams game. That is fantastic. We don't need to do the lookup. I know James Earl Jones is still alive.
No, I'm seeing that Tannehill, like Vrabel, needs 2 negative tests within 48 hours or 10 days off.
XTENDAV.com, online first. You're with the wonderful people with Extend Technologies. You're absolutely going to love it. We're back tomorrow morning, 6 to 10. I'm sure we'll play snippets of this. We better, because it was flatly embarrassing. For Big Country, for – Jeff doesn't do anything on this podcast. Yeah. The hell with him.
No,
for Andy Roth, who's fantastic. For Keith, who – I imagine I want to give you and Keith and Owen a ton of credit because you guys obviously arranged that, and I thank you very much for doing so. That was awesome. Surprising, but awesome. I'm Ken Carman. Have a wonderful day, my friends.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.